Listen, no, you must understand the kind of person that God is making you and me into. You can't say I was just joking. No. Many years ago when I was in university, I read this thing around 1988, 89. And since then, I have not played April Fool. You know what they call April Fool? He said, like a madman, that's the word, that throws arrows and firebrands. He said, so is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, was I not joking? If you have a King James, he says, was I not in sport? I read that thing when I was in university. I said, oh, sorry, April Fool, not my portion. Listen, Christianity, I told you, it has some rules, which are interesting. After that, don't worry about going to hell. You won't go to hell, no. You know, I've been saying that thing. Unless you really have not truly given your life to Christ. Because today I was asking my wife, you know, we discussed some things. I said, some people, I wonder whether they are true believers. Some people go to church, it's a social gathering for them. Church is socials. Where do you congregate on Sunday for your socials? I'm a Catholic. It doesn't mean I believe in anything the Pope is saying. It's just that is where my own congregation of social issues happen. No, I'm an Anglican. It's like saying, some other people just come out and say, which church is it? I say, Rotary Club. Because that, as far as they're concerned, it's just where you do your socials. If Christianity is not socials to you, it's not just family heritage. It is a personal thing. I gave my life to Christ, you're not going to hell. Will heaven come to the earth through you? When you open your mouth every day, you are babbling nonsense. Heaven can't use that mouth because God said, if I confirm everything you are saying, there will be atomic eruption. You know, I said something that, you know, Jesus could not have ever said to anybody, go to hell. No. He did not say it. You have to walk in and say to you, go to hell, my friend. That guy is dead. He will say it and go away. He will say it and walk away. Then the angels will kill that guy. Bundle his soul. Open the door. Devil, one for you. To the guy's soul. He said, why? The Lord said, go to hell. Where else will he go? That's why when God taught me this, some part of this a few months ago, I started answering people. If you are one of the people that relate with me, I teach you the word of God. When I greet you, I always tell you, it is well with you. It's my way of greeting. It's a deliberate thing. I started some maybe last year or so. I said, no, what is one? How are you? How are you? Okay, now you have told me so. So my greeting now is, when we are departing, I will tell you, it is well with you. You call me on the phone, when you're hanging up, it is well with you. It is well with you. I keep on throwing it out. It is well with you. It is well with you. It has become a habit, and I don't even think about it anymore. And I realized Jesus didn't have to think about words. He understood that everything he said came to pass. So he didn't play. Oh, listen, I pray we understand that we are carrying God. Therefore, when you receive your salary, he said, this money will soon finish. You know what happens? My Father in heaven. You don't have to remember you said it. The money is dead. If you understand this faith of God we are talking about, they give you 200 naira and you say it will be enough. I don't know whether you're getting my point. You just said to the money, what? It will be enough. Now, that's the problem with a lot of Christians. It is that day they want to now say, God, you know, this is 15,000. Everything we need is 150. Okay. In the name of Jesus, okay, let's go and sow some of it. They don't have the faith of God. They are panicking. Do you get my point? They don't have the faith of God. They are panicking. They are panicking. It's panic. It's panic. There's no faith of God in it. It's pure panic. He starts sowing a seed so that the money can multiply. And the prayers don't work. Because the fellow he doesn't have the faith of God, does not have the faith of God. God blessed me with that understanding long ago. One of the most powerful words in the life of a wife is the one the husband spoke. It's not start praying for your wife in the time of crisis. That's good. But that's not really the faith of God. That's desperation. But I'm saying understanding, look, that this is life. I'm emphasizing the issue of the faith of God. You understand it on a regular basis. This is how I live. I don't talk nonsense with my mouth. That's what we're talking about. You just understand that. So it is not as if, okay, when things are serious, now let us pray. That is the problem with a lot of let us pray. Because when we are not praying, we talk nonsense. Then when we now want to pray, we now want to muster a faith we did not have 5 minutes ago. So we'll pick a phone and tell all kinds of lies. Because the fellow is not sin. You don't realize when you lie with your tongue, you are making every word you speak ineffective. I don't know what I heard what I said. You think you are just telling lies, you are deceiving somebody. But lying to one person, it makes your words elsewhere ineffective. Why? Because the lie is a nullification of the faith of God. Christians, you know, one of the reasons why God doesn't allow his power to just flow is that the way we have been trying to use it, one little girl in America killed her shooting instructor by accident. That was a few months ago in Texas. The girl is, I think, either 9 or 11 or 12, something like that, a young girl. The parents took her to go out to the shooting range to go and learn how to shoot. The instructor made a mistake. Told the girl what to do and left the girl to pull the trigger with her own hands. When the gun began to recoil, the girl lost control. And of course, you know the way it is, the gun starts dancing around. So before the girl could do anything, she has, you know, shifted like this. One bullet went through the head of the instructor. That was his demise. The guy died. See why God restrains power in our hands? Our mouths shoot anyhow. Do you understand my point? Our heart, oh God. You know, if God allowed, do you understand? If Jesus had lived in Nigeria and turned to the head of state and said, this guy knows nothing, that's the end of it. Do you hear what I said? He just turns and says to the head of state, this guy knows nothing. The words of the Lord and every child of God is not commentary. It's spiritual power. So when he says, this fellow knows nothing, what happens essentially as the angels, the evil spirit, they go there and wipe his brain. Why? The Lord said you know nothing. And if the Lord said you know nothing, you know nothing. You want to prove him wrong? No word from him drops and falls to the ground. If ordinary Samuel, not Jesus Christ, if ordinary Samuel has said to you, you know nothing, your head is empty. If there was something inside it, it turns to emptiness. Every understanding you have will turn to zero. One day I heard T.D. Jakes explain something. That was my first time of understanding this power of God thing. T.D. Jakes said, God cannot lie. We understand it that it doesn't say God does not lie. There's a world of difference between God cannot lie and God does not lie. Most of us, we does not lie. You understand my point? We do not lie. We do not lie. That's human beings. But we can. But we are training ourselves in godliness so that we don't. But I can assure you where God is heading for is where we can't. Again, people think that can't means that if you try to say the lie, it won't come out. Again, that is true. But there's a realm beyond that. And that was the one T.D. Jakes said that day. My first time of hearing it was so powerful. He said, God is so blessed. That's the word he used. That he can't lie. That if he were to look at you and say that your shirt is white and currently is black. If he says that shirt is black, is white. The moment we turn to look at it, it has become white. So that even if he wanted to lie, the power in his words, do you understand? The power is so great that when he says, that thing is white, you turn, it has turned to white. And for a moment, we thought it was black. Are you getting more next day? That's God. That's when people tell me that God doesn't change the past. I can't agree. They say God cannot change the past. You don't know the God you are dealing with. If I say this thing, people will think that you're just talking. The fact is that when God forgave your sins, he wiped some things out of your memory. You so forgot them that actually they didn't happen. The problem is that people keep on arguing. They say God cannot change the past, so in their lives the past can't be changed. Hear this gospel, even if you don't know how to understand it, just hear it. As somebody told that God changes the past. You know why? Because past, present, future are happening at the same time in his presence. That's the meaning of the word everlasting. Everlasting doesn't mean you live forever. Physicists know that there's no time once you leave this realm. Time is a physical quantity. When you come out into the spiritual realm, it vanishes. So God at the same time is scanning yesterday, today. That one Bible says that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. It means you are the same. You are in one spot. Today comes, goes. Yesterday comes, goes. Tomorrow comes, goes. And you are looking at all of them coming and going. If one goes in a manner you don't like, you call it back, you come back. It's hard for people to understand, but God changes the past. One of the errors, one of the fallacies that advanced people who have eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they've poured into this world is this issue of psychology that tries to dig up what in your childhood that's disturbing you. They don't realize no matter what it is in your childhood, if the power of God flows into you, that's the end of it. Because it happened in your childhood, it becomes even easier. God, bam, wipes it away totally. And it totally has no consequence in the present. So as far as God is concerned, it never happened. A lot of people don't believe in God because they don't know what to do with the past. Bring them to him, he will change them. That word is deep. I know what I'm saying, but I'm mocking about it. So when you say that God, DDJ was saying that time, he said, so if God tells you, well, if you hear that God cannot lie, what it means is that if God tells you it did not happen, you know what it means? That's it. I don't care how much you think it happened, it didn't happen. Why? Because God is so powerful, when his words come forth like that, boom, that's it. Every occurrence is wiped away. Wiped away from memory, wiped away from existence, wiped away, just wiped. 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 Let nobody lie to you that God doesn't change the past. What do you mean? Do you know who you are dealing with? Why he doesn't seem to be able to do this? Because we can't accept it. We are talking about the faith of God. The faith of God. The problem is that Christians want to have faith when they don't normally have that faith of God. When there's problem, they suddenly want to start declaring. Listen, a mouth that lies cannot declare. The tongue that lies as a habit can't declare anything that will come to pass. How is it going to do it? Many of the principles we teach in Christianity that look like it's causing confusion is because I told you before, Jesus used to teach disciples. He didn't used to teach the multitude. Some people say that what Jesus said is that whoever. I said he did not say whoever to the crowd. He said whoever to the disciples. I've heard it preached many times. People say that Jesus just said whoever. Whoever doesn't matter. It's once you are whoever, listen to me. Whoever was spoken when he was talking to disciples. And listen to me. If you read that in my little book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, there's something I explained in there. That whole book was written on the concept of the ability to believe. When Jesus said that, if he shall say to this mountain, you know, there was something he said, verse 24. He said, therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them and they will be granted you. Listen. Even though on the surface, it appears like that was what he said. If you read in context, there's a word there that's missing. Which reading in context will make it clear to you. Jesus was not giving faith as an instruction. He was giving faith. He was giving faith as a condition. That is, what he said is this. If you can believe, do you understand my point? That is, if you have the habit of belief, if your heart is in the place where it can believe, it's not that Jesus was telling an unbeliever, make sure you believe. And that's why that woman, that man came to Jesus and said, look, my son is saying, well, you know, what can, if you can do anything, do it for us. Jesus said, is it if I can do anything? No, it's if you can believe. It is if you can believe. He now says all things are possible to the person that believes. It's a condition. It's not looking like, okay, now let us go and believe. It's either you can or you can't. I'm not talking about saying that in the kind of give up fashion. I'm explaining that, therefore, the assignment for Christians is to build up their faith to the place where the faith of God is a habit. So the faith of God is what? A habit. Now, this is the point I'm making. Our emphasis on that, on the words that Jesus spoke and how the tree responded. And I took a long time at the beginning building up the fact that this was a casual talk. This was not spiritual talk. This was not disciples sit down, I want to teach you something. This is not, is there money, let us pray. This was not even a time of let us multiply bread. No. This was just casual talk. He was just talking casually. What's the lesson for us in it? We must understand that God's plan for our lives is that we'll be so full of God that casual talk will come to pass. That's why with casualness, we don't talk nonsense about the government. Because you must understand, I've said to you before, in our school of prayer, this is war. What did I call it?
War.
What did I call it?
War.
Say it again.
War.
When I say war, there are agents of darkness and there are angels of light. Everybody is an agent. Whether you've joined the witchcraft coven or not, you are an agent. It is what you are agenting. That's what the issue is now. Everybody is an agent. Christians often think that our problem is that the issue is that we are supposed to be running commentaries. They don't realize that, no, we are not running commentaries. We are issuing forth words in the conflict. The Bible says that take on the shield of faith and all of the way you can defend, as they now said, and then take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, there are many ways to interpret that. The commonest way we interpret that, take up the sword issued forth by the Holy Spirit, which is the word of God. That is true. But it's another aspect we must look at critically. He said, take up the sword of the spiritual realm. Then the realm of the spirit, what we fight with are words. That's what he was saying. That take up the sword that is effective in the realm of the spirit, which are words. And then as Christians, we don't just speak anyhow words. We speak only the word of God. That's the only thing we speak, the word of God. I'm looking at an issue here. So when you look at 2015 is coming, do you know people say it every day? This country will burn. You know people say it. And some Christians think that they just look at it and just say, either the good Christians will say, don't mind them. No, good Christians don't talk like that. Good Christians, they say simply, casually, you're on your bed. Someone say, Buhari said country will burn in 2015. You just turn and say, it won't burn. Doesn't know what he's saying. You just turn and then you continue sleeping. You didn't notice that? You know what we like? We like to say, it will burn. We just knew. With the way price of crude is going down, it will burn. What will not happen? Then when you go to church, let us pray that it will not burn. In the name of Jesus, it will not burn. God said, you do not have the faith of God. These prayers you are praying currently, they are ineffective. Because for the last 5 days before this prayer meeting, what you have been saying every day is it will burn. You've heard me say many, when I say most Christians, their prayers, I've said it many times, that the prayers are not effective. And this is the reason. And Jesus said it simply, that the face of God is a foundation for getting results in prayer. You must, listen, it wasn't saying you must believe that what you said to the mountain will come to pass. No, you must be one who understands what you say normally. Let me use a word for today. They are supposed to come to pass. When the Bible talks about double-mindedness, it's not just that I want one thing today, then I want another thing tomorrow. That is double-mindedness, quite all right. Okay? But it's beyond that. It is that right now, I don't expect my words to come to pass. I tell my husband lies. I tell my wife lies. You understand? I tell my children lies. I tell myself lies. I curse things that are important to me. Do you understand my point? Things that I don't want to spoil. I know if I lose that job, I don't have another one. Yet every day I go there, I curse the boss. I curse the company. This is our guy is a nonsense man, stupid man. Nothing good will ever cause this. What rubbish company is this? And I know if I get fired, Omo wahala dey. Then I go to church. I want to start praying. God says, oh girl, you are double-minded. Such a person does not receive anything from my hands. Please, I hope you've gotten my point. The point being, listen, God dwells in you. Amen. He said, this is my plan. This is my promise. I will dwell in you. I will be your God. You will be my people. I will be a father unto you. You will be sons and daughters to me. I said something at the beginning. In fact, good enough, it's time now. I said at the beginning that when the first time Jesus said, God is my father, and he said he is the son of God, the people said he made himself what? Equal with God. What does that mean? That simply means that he was going to be speaking for the father. And the father said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Whatever he says, hear him. And when God said that, you know what happened? All the trees heard the commandment of God. I don't know whether you hear that. The trees. When God made that utterance, it was not only an instruction for human beings, it was an instruction for the whole earth. The trees heard the commandment. So when Jesus said, no one will eat from your tree, from this tree again, the tree heard what the Father said then, that whatever he says, hear him. So the tree said, I beg, let's die in peace. The tree by itself involuted. The waves heard the commandment of the Father. Get my point. The seas heard the commandment of the Father. The seas heard it. So that when the sea, you know, was disturbed like this, Jesus came and said, peace, be still. And do you know what? The sea heard the commandment of the Father and said, whatever he says, hear him. The sea said, guys, cool down, before we disappear. And God said, this is the same commandment I'm giving concerning your life. It's the same commandment. That I will be a father to you. Oh God, I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying though. God says, I will be a father to you. What that means simply is that you will go to a particular sphere of life and utter words on my behalf. And I will speak to that sector. I will say to manufacturing, this is my beloved son. Let's assume your name is Andrew. Say, Andrew is my beloved son in manufacturing. Anything he says, hear him. We think human beings alone are supposed to pay attention to Andrew. No. So when Andrew gets into manufacturing sector, and they said that manufacturing has left our country, it has moved to China, and he says simply, it will be back. Did you hear what I said? Andrew will just say what? It will be back. Now remember what I said at the beginning, let there be light. Doesn't mean God is hustling, let I come. No, Andrew may not even take one step towards bringing it back. But God has said concerning him, listen, anything this guy says, hear him. The price of crude will change to bring his word to pass. Governments will change. Policies will change to bring the word to pass. But God will never utter that kind of statement concerning Andrew. If every time Andrew wants to start a business, all he starts whining and complaining about is nothing works in this country. Either a man tries to start a business, it doesn't work. No. Andrew will have failed a number of times, though. Don't forget. Because it's all about the trials of your faith. Yet, despite all those trials, he will have taken the word of God, obeyed the word of God, using prayer and every weapon to make sure that he doesn't disobey God. Then one day the Lord looks and says, that commandment, that promise I promised concerning his life, it has now come to pass. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Manufacturing, listen to him. And casual talk becomes the word of God. I was saying something before, that when it comes to a nation, it's what? War. What did I call it?
War.
I have realized why God had to preserve people in a country and in every country of the world is that he has to have people that speak for him. God does not, listen, it is not the words that he speaks in heaven that will come to pass. It is the words that you and I speak on his behalf on the earth. That's why the prophet says, surely God does nothing except he reveals his counsel, his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets. Why? Because except Samuel prophesies, except Elijah prophesies, the counsel of God will not come to pass. So when he said, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm, he wasn't talking about the man who's anointed to a prophetic ministry. He was talking about every child of God that have commissioned to that area of life to go and utter my words. Listen, let me tell you something, eh? If you suspect that God has given somebody power, eh? Be afraid of that person. That's when it comes to challenging him. What am I going to say? If God gives you power, let's use that manufacturing as an example. If God gives you power there, if they give any minister in Nigeria power, authority, and it does not make policies that fit what you have decided in your bedroom, God will remove him. There's something I'm still researching on. I will finish the research one day. What the Bible calls watchers. He talked about Nebuchadnezzar being removed according to the decree of the watchers. Not the decree of the Almighty. According to the decree of the watchers. I told you that. Remember our brother, MK Abiola? You know why he did not win the election? Because some Christians said no. One of our brothers was in the meeting. Some brothers, of course, they are a network of believers. They said what? Who? Which country? They recalled to mind his sins during the days of OIC. The OIC crisis that began with Buhari and moved into Babangida. They recalled his iniquities and said, no, God, this man will not rule in this country. I remember a word that one brother who was present there told us. He said, the men said, Lord, we cast down his star. The brethren said, Lord, we cast down his star. Babangida's sense left him. The decree of the watcher said that guy will never be president. And the word of the Lord went to Tunde Bakare's mouth and said, somebody tell that man he will never rule this country. He said this on television. When SDP was ruling, you know, hot, he was their front runner. He said, these were his words, are there no elders in that family? Somebody call that man to order. He will never be president. Then one day the word of the Lord came to him again. He said, NRC will lose, but SDP will not win. And there were only two parties contesting. And you know what I liked about it? When I say man is a prophet, that's why I keep on praying for him. In Jesus' name, he will never win an election. I don't want that prophetic anointing diluted. I don't want it diluted. The man said it straight. God gave him revelation. He said, listen, two men are fighting for something. A man in uniform came and collected it from them. And an arrow from God struck that man down. Exactly what he said played out over the next few years. SDP was making noise. Obasanjo was talking to Abiola was making noise. Abacha came, give me the thing. Abacha ruled for a few years. Boom! He woke up one morning and he was dead. I'm talking about the watchers. Those men said simply, this man, you will never... They told him straight. You will never... And their reason was simple. They recalled to mind his sins during the OIC. He was among those pushing Nigeria into OIC. And they said, sorry, sir, you will never rule Nigeria. We don't care your intentions, you will never rule. If that man would have lived if he left that mandate alone. But since he was fighting the decree of the watchers, so God killed him. The Lord is good. Christianity, I say all the time, is not a joke. Most of the noise we make around these days in churches, we don't understand the power that works towards those who believe. We don't understand it. If you understand the power in the word, you won't joke with it. You won't, as a preacher, you won't use the word to raise money. Let me tell you how, if I have to raise money with the word of God, I'll tell you straight. I'll tell you straight. Go out and prosper and return with the spoils. That's all. Did you hear what I said? That word will energize you to go and prosper. I'm be making all noise. Say somebody's a special miracle because I'm looking for money. This thing is dynamite. Do you get what I'm saying? You know, it's atomic bomb. It's like you want to pull a house down. You go and put atomic bomb inside. You're mad. If you want to pull a house down, use sledgehammer. Use small dynamite. Put it here and there. The house will come down. This word of God? No, you don't joke with it. You don't joke with it. You don't joke with it. The people that this thing has filled their hearts, he said, I have said, ye are what? Gods. And when he said, all of you are children of the Most High. And we've understood what it means to be children of the Most High now. I have said, ye are gods. That is when Elijah went to Ahab, he said to Ahab, listen, rain will not fall. I didn't say God spoke to me. I am telling you, rain will not fall. That was how Samuel. You know when God was speaking to Moses? He said, Moses, listen to me. I have made you a god unto Pharaoh. What that means is that Moses did not actually have to pray about anything again. I pray you get it. The instruction for all of us is that be careful how you use your words. It shows your faith, whether you understand that God is actually living in you and speaking through you. I was talking about nation. It's war. So when they say, hey, this will happen, just tell them straight, it will not happen. They think you have calculated. Do you know the price of the dollar? Do you know how much crude is going for now? Do you know how people have plotted? Sometimes when I hear Christians talk about Islam, man, it annoys me. I hear statements like, Islam is taking over the world. You don't understand. Once you say it, you're energizing them. Your utterance is what is energizing it. What should you say? It's simple. To the word and to the testimony. You go to Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. Say, he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord will hold them in derision. He will confound them. He will confuse their plans. He said, design a thing, but it will not prosper. Yes. That's how prophets talk. They don't run commentaries. When they are showing you all the plans for Islamic takeover of the world, simply you utter a word casually. He said, design a thing, propose a thing, but hear ye the word of the Lord, it will not prosper. You will see Iraq turn against Iran. Syria will turn against Lebanon. All of them will turn against each other. Why? Because you said simply, design a plan, but hear the word of God, it will not prosper. Say, no weapon that is fashioned against his church shall prosper. Every mouth that rises against us in judgment, hereby we condemn it. That's how prophets talk. Not Christians gather and say, hey, from what Islam is planning, we are dead. Have people said, your children are going to go to Muslim schools. You know the way, you know me, I know the way I respond. When I hear such things, I say, no problem. The Bible says, strangers will nurse my children. Build the schools, they will go there. But hear ye the word of the Lord. You will not be able to convert their toenails to Islam. Yes. That's how I respond. That's how the church is supposed to respond. That's how the church is supposed to respond. Don't let anybody scare you. Go and read Psalm 2. Why do you think God gave us the scriptures? It's what we used to fight. That is what he gave us his name for. And God said, I want to dwell in you. You will be sons and daughters to me. I will be your father. Which means that each one of you, I send you to different aspects of life. Go in there and begin to drop words. And understand that, listen, let there be light. Doesn't mean let's check whether the light has come. Say it and walk away. Jesus cursed the tree and did not even realize he was cursing the tree. That's why God gave me that understanding, gave me that blessing. I'm sure I blessed my children like 10,000 times. Okay, let's not exaggerate. but many times in a day. I come back from school. Oh, welcome, Daddy. They give you a hug. I pull your head close. Baby, you're a smart child. It's well with you. Just two words. And I don't even realize I've spoken. But listen to me. Not one jot of those words that I have uttered on those children will fall to the ground. Not one. Not one. I said to you before, the poor and the rich have one thing in common. God is the maker of them all. If I want my children to go to any school in the world, one or two things will happen. Assuming I don't have any money. Either they will be able to go there. Let's use Harvard, like people want to go to Harvard. They will be able to go to Harvard, or Harvard will come to them. Yes, if I decide. Either they will be able to go there, money will complete. The money will complete. Or Harvard will come to them. And no, it's impossible. I don't have time now to start discussing it. It's already happening. Chinese people are doing it. Chinese people. They will make you bring the school to their country. The same professors will go there and give the lectures and go back to the US. I finished my message. I hope you're blessed today. Yes. Quickly, let's say a word of prayer. It's 1 minute of repentance. Lord, this tongue, it don't drive rough. Therefore, Lord, I repent. And I say, Lord, have mercy. I rededicate this tongue to godliness, that is, walking as gods on the earth. He said, they know not, neither do they understand, therefore they walk on in darkness. What don't they know? I have said, ye are gods. And all of you, children of God, you are children of the Most High. Said, don't die like men, he was saying. Don't walk like just one of the princes of the earth. I have said, ye are gods. Say, Lord, my tongue is yours. It speaks godliness. It speaks godliness. It speaks godliness.